an important series of stories related to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. And that's why I wanted to bring Roger Stark on, Dr. Roger Stark, that is, from Washington Policy Center's health wing to join us, their healthcare policy center. Dr. Stark, good to have you here this morning. How you doing, Roger?
Just fine. Thanks for having me on, John.
All right. So I'm going to read the first paragraph of Joel Connolly's column in the Seattle PI, which should make him very happy because the Seattle PI doesn't really exist anymore except online. So we're helping him out there with circulation. It says, while some Democrats in other states have kept their distance, Governor Jay Inslee and Senator Patty Murray lovingly embraced the Affordable Care Act from the start and on Wednesday proclaimed victory in getting health insurance to thousands of Washington residents. They boasted that under the Washington Health Benefit Exchange, 164,000 people signed up for coverage under private insurance, while Medicaid added 423,000 to its rolls, 285,000 of those adults newly eligible for Medicaid. Quote, sometimes it's hard to believe how far we've come in the last 4 years since the Affordable Care Act became law, said Patty Murray. What does Roger Stark say about how far we've come in the last 4 years?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is the spin on that statement is breathtaking, first of all. Second of all, those numbers are actually, they're terrifying. The 164,000 who have signed up on the private side, that represents about 15% of the almost 1 million who have signed up. Okay, fine. Even if you believe those numbers, we have no reason to doubt them. We do not know how many of that 164,000 had already lost their insurance or had their insurance transferred, or they were using new insurance in the state exchange. The other issue, of course, is the other side of the coin is 85% of the people who signed up have signed up for Medicaid, which is an entitlement, which is a terrible insurance plan and probably from a clinical medical outcome standpoint is no better than having no insurance at all. So it's really disingenuous for these people to say, hey, we can declare a victory here. In no way is this a victory.
Tell me why having no insurance at all is just a step below Medicaid, or why Medicaid is just a step above having no insurance at all.
We have had experience with the existing Medicaid program now for almost 50 years, and there have been a number of studies that have come out that have shown that really clinical outcomes for people, how healthy they are, and how significant their medical impact is with Medicaid, is really no different than having no insurance. There was a very, very randomized controlled study done in the state of Oregon. It began in 2008, and researchers from Harvard and MIT looked at Medicaid patients, about 5,000 of them who signed up for Medicaid, 5,000 who didn't. And of those who did not have Medicaid, had no insurance whatsoever, medical parameters like blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol readings, they were all no better with the patients who had Medicaid. And interestingly enough, emergency room usage was actually 40% higher for people who had Medicaid than people who didn't have any insurance whatsoever. So what we have done in the state of Washington is we have added hundreds of thousands of people to this already bankrupt health insurance plan, and in no way is this doing them a service.
Didn't they also find out that, you know, in theory, being on Medicaid means you'll go to a clinic rather than the ER when you need medical, non-emergency medical care, but in fact, there was an exact reversal, that there was a 40% increase in people using the ER rather than clinics?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That came out of the Oregon study.
Right,
yeah.
That same study. That's yeah. What I'm referencing.
Right. And then the other issue with Medicaid is it is so administratively top-heavy. We're spending billions of dollars on this program every year in this country. And by the time the dollars get filtered down to the hospitals and the doctors, they are reimbursed somewhere between 30 and 50% of what private insurance pays.
30 and 50%?
Yeah.
So if I get a physical that the insurance company reimburses, the Medicaid would reimburse at about 50 cents of what an insurance company would pay?
At best, John. Yeah, at best. And so what's happening is a lot of physicians, they can't pay their overhead. They can't keep their doors open with what Medicaid reimburses them. And so consequently, our Medicaid patients are having a very difficult time with access. And what the Affordable Care Act is going to do, even in the state of Washington, ultimately, it's going to add to the existing Medicaid program 400,000, 500,000 people into this already bankrupt program. So,
how is Medicaid currently paid for?
Well, that's another interesting question. The existing Medicaid is a 50-50 deal, 50% federal money, 50% state money. The new Medicaid, in the expansion of the Affordable Care Act, this new Medicaid is going to be paid 100% by the federal government for the first 3 years, and then gradually that percent will change to 90% federal, 10% state.
That's for new people entering Medicaid, right? That's
exactly right. But what we have seen with this state exchange is we have seen several hundred thousand people sign up under the existing program who were eligible for the existing program who hadn't already signed up, which is going to put our state taxpayers on the hook for about 50% of the cost of those newly enrolled and previously eligible individuals.
So if you were previously eligible and you sign up, the state is on the hook for 50% of that, not the 0% for the next 3 years or the 10% thereafter.
That's exactly right. And then the other thing, and people just gloss over this, they don't even address this issue, our state taxpayers are the same thing as federal taxpayers. And so in the long run, our Washington state taxpayers are going to be paying for this entire expansion, plus the old existing Medicaid.
What tax sources currently pay for Medicaid? Which is, the reason I ask is, they don't collect money from the recipients. It's health care welfare.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's part of the welfare program. It is an entitlement. There is no payroll tax to pay for Medicaid. The funds get moved around a little bit, but at the end of the day, it essentially comes out of the general fund.
Okay, which could mean higher deficits.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Either we're going to be taxed more or we're going to run higher deficits and a bigger debt to pay for this huge entitlement.
Now, the reason that so many people, again, 420,000 additional people in this state, 423,000 additional people in this state of 7 million have signed up for Medicaid. How many of those people had insurance before they logged on to the healthcare.gov and were pulled off insurance into Medicaid? Because I'm told by several people directly who this happened to and also various articles and reports that if you qualify for Medicaid, you no longer can shop for a private plan. They just enroll you in Medicaid.
Yeah, that's a terrific question, John. And the answer is, at this point, no one knows the answer. No one knows how many of those people formerly had private insurance. And if you earn, less than 138% of the federal poverty level, Medicaid is the insurance that you will be placed into. So, and you have no choice. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, the second thing I want to ask you about has to do with a rule that was proposed by Insurance Commissioner Mike Kreidler that actually has health insurers and hospitals that usually oppose each other lining up together to condemn. Are you following this?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the backstory on this is when the insurance companies started to look at providing plans for the new state exchange, this was several years ago, Insurance Commissioner Kreidler went to the insurance companies and said, look, we're going to let you participate, but I'm going to approve your rates, and your rates have to be low, and they have to be competitive. So the insurance company said, okay, well, the way we do that is we narrow networks. And so we eliminate certain hospitals, certain doctors, certain medical organizations to keep our networks small and to hold our costs down. And they did that because that's what Kreidler wanted them to do. So the plans came out, and in a lot of the plans here in the Puget Sound area, there was no Children's Hospital.
Right.
There was no Seattle Cancer Care Alliance in a number of these
plans.
Right.
You were on the show mentioning that.
Yeah, and a lot of patients, obviously, and then a lot of medical facilities who were excluded from these plans, they went nuts, and they said, this is not fair, this is not right. And so Kreidler has now come back with this, quote, new rule that says you've got to broaden your networks, you have to include all these other medical facilities, and you still have to keep your premium prices down. So he can't have it both ways. He wants to be a czar. He wants to be a dictator. He wants to tell hospitals, he wants to tell insurance companies what to do, and he can't have it both ways in the real world. So that's what's causing this huge problem.
So what's going to happen? They have to offer lower rates that be competitive, but they can't narrow the networks, which help them contain costs. They have to keep the networks broad. So what happens?
Well, in the short term, I think what will happen is we are going to see networks broaden because patients are demanding it, and then we're going to see premiums go up, and Kreidler is going to have to accept them. If he does not, in the intermediate term and long term, if insurance companies are unable to raise their rates, to raise their premium costs, then they're going to go out of business, close their doors, become public utilities, take some form other than being private insurance companies. There's no other answer economically. What he wants to do is violate economic laws, and he can't. So,
I should point out, Mike Kreidler's made it clear that he favors single payer, and some people think that if you can make this bastardized hybrid between public and private not work, you could say, well, then clearly we just need a government takeover. Period.
Yeah, that's exactly right, John. And we say, no, not necessarily. We have two choices here. We can let government take this over, centrally plan our healthcare delivery system, or we can give control of healthcare back to patients as consumers. And clearly, that is the best way to do it. Otherwise, we're lost.
Well, and the other thing I will point out about Mike Kreidler's to the left of Barack Obama. Mike Kreidler, after Barack Obama said, if you like your insurance plan, you can keep it. And then there was a huge uproar when 6 million people had their plans canceled. So they said, well, all right, but if your plan was canceled, we'll find a way for you to keep it for at least a year. Kreidler said, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you can't. Not in this state.
Right. Yeah. He said, I'm smarter than the president and I want to do it my way.
Well, he might be. But
yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
But he's moving things, even further leftward. And now, as you point out, like Deborah Senn did with the individual market 20 years ago, Mike Kreidler is basically trying to suspend the laws of basic economics and say that they have to have wide networks and low costs at the same time. And you say that that's going to result in one of two things: skyrocketing premiums, healthcare costs, insurance costs will go up. Or, if he doesn't allow that, insolvency.
Yeah, and even...
Am I reading that right. Correctly?
Yeah, that's exactly right, John. And then premiums can only go so high. I mean, we've got to be realistic about this. And people are already starting to talk about premium increases next year, not necessarily in the state of Washington, going up at least 100%. And premiums are already at a peak at a high level. So, yeah, those are the only two alternatives that we're really going to see.
And the last thing I want to bring to your attention is we have vastly expanded the number of people on Medicaid at the same time that a growing number of doctors are either limiting the number of Medicaid patients they see or have stopped altogether with Medicaid patients.
That's exactly right, yes.
So even if they're, quote, in-network, is it, well, we're no longer seeing Medicaid patients.
Yeah, that's right. And so what the proponents of all this can stand up and say is we have hundreds of thousands of people on insurance who have health care insurance now. And that's the tragedy here is, yes, they have insurance, but it's crummy insurance. It's no better than being uninsured at a tremendous cost to the state and to the country.
It is always great having you here, Roger Stark. And again, our dream is to allow you and Mike Kreidler on together. And only one of you seems enthusiastic about having that kind of public debate.
Well, I'd be happy to, anytime.
I know. You're the one. Anyway, thanks very much. I sure do appreciate you being here. That's Dr. Roger Stark from the Washington Policy Center. For more information, check out Roger's work, some great work and essays of his at washingtonpolicy.org. This is, you know, health policy from someone who understands politics, who understands economics, and is himself not just a medical doctor, but a medical doctor with a superb reputation. Dr. Roger Stark, washingtonpolicy.org.